You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Marcy's Law, the California Victims Bill of Rights Act of 2008, is an amendment to that state's constitution and certain penal code sections. The act protects and expands the legal rights of victims to include 17 rights in the judicial process, which include the right to legal standing, protection from the defendant, notification of all court proceedings, as well as granting parole boards far greater powers to deny inmates parole. Since its passage in California in 2008, numerous other states have passed similar laws. However, in Montana in 2017, that state Supreme Court found Marcy's Law to be unconstitutional. Here in Idaho, a version of Marcy's Law has been brought to the legislature twice. Both times, it's failed to pass. Advocates are planning to bring a bill back again this year with the hopes of passing Marcy's Law for Idaho. However, some legal concerns are popping up about the proposal. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this are Kathy Grissmeyer. She is the policy director with the ACLU of Idaho, and Kelly Miller, executive director for the Idaho Coalition Against Sexual and Domestic Violence. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
So I'd like to start with, you know, what are the concerns when it comes to Marcy's Law or something similar like that passing in Idaho? And Kathy, do you want to start?
Sure. You know, I think the way you kind of introed the constitutional amendment, it's a California campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not really organic to Idaho and doesn't take into consideration the needs and services that Idaho victims of crime have talked about and expressed wanting reforms, which I think Kelly can probably speak to a little bit more, nor does it take into consideration the troubles and, you know, additional needs for reform in our current Idaho criminal justice system. And looking at those two and kind of putting them together into a really controversial constitutional amendment that, if it were to be passed by the legislature and then passed at the ballot by voters, what we've seen pop up in other states around conflicting with the due process rights of people accused of crimes and really kind of throwing on its head this principle of innocent until proven guilty, which is really a bedrock of our criminal justice system and our court system in the U.S. Not to mention, this isn't something that Idaho crime victims have been asking for. It's a campaign that was brought to Idaho by a really well-funded PR and lobbying campaign.
So, Kelly, talk about that then and what crime victims here in Idaho would like to see that they're not seeing right now.
Absolutely. I think that's one of our most significant concerns with this proposed bill for the last 2 years and why we have actually opposed it, even though everything about our organization is about survivors. Mm-hmm. It's about empowering survivors, the voices of any individual who's been impacted by a full host of crimes around domestic violence, stalking, sexual assault, dating violence, and more. And what we know is that in 2015 and 16, a massive report was issued and released from Boise State on what actually crime victims in Idaho say that they need, none of which is reflected in what this bill proposes. And in fact, we believe that the current Idaho crime victim rights, which is in our Constitution and really kind of expanded out within statute, mm-hmm. provides many of the rights already there. In other words, survivors can already talk to prosecutors. They can already refuse to have contact with the opposing party. So when we look at what actually crime victims are saying that they need, it's a whole host of recommendations. I think like 50 pages of recommendations. I think the one most applicable to the criminal justice system is the recommendation from ombudsman. Mm-hmm. And so we believe actually a state level ombudsman would really help improve the experience of any victim of crime in the state as compared to what we're seeing in the bill from the last 2 years.
Because isn't it true? I mean, here in Idaho, like you mentioned, I mean, victims can talk with prosecutors. I mean, this is a big part of our system here in Idaho. There are victim witness coordinators who contact the victims, who help the victims go through the legal process. So we, as you said, Kelly, we have certain things already in place in Idaho.
Absolutely. And what crime victims are saying that they need, in addition to the ombudsman, are not going to be a surprise to most Idahoans. Idahoans who have experienced crime need access to child care to be able to participate in criminal justice proceedings. They need transportation, particularly in rural, isolated areas that don't have any public transportation. They need access to mental health services, to substance abuse services that are all a result of the trauma of the impact of a crime. And so when we think about investing such limited resources that we have within our state budget, within our county budgets, what we really want to see at the Idaho Coalition Against Sexual and Domestic Violence is that resources are really going to exactly what the voices of survivors in this state have told us.
And isn't it true, I believe, that last year when there was a hearing at the Idaho legislature, many victims of crime came in and they spoke and they told about their stories. And what I read was that numerous victims were not upset with the laws that we already had in place. They were upset with maybe not having all of those procedures followed in a way that they felt like their voices were being heard. Is that an accurate statement?
I think, Kathy, you were there for the hearing.
I think partially, and then also, too, they had concerns with maybe why they hadn't been notified under the current constitutional and statutory provisions that are already in place. So, in our Idaho Constitution and in a variety of state statutes, victims already have the right to be notified of various different trial court dates in their criminal proceeding. And Marcy's Law doesn't change that. And so to me, that raises a question, you know, what's happening at the local implementation level that's not working currently for crime victims in Idaho, where, you know, those notifications aren't going out already? Do we need additional staff at the county level? Do we need additional support staff for the notification systems? And Marcy's Law doesn't really address that. In fact, it looks to expand the notification system and process. So we're going to have more folks becoming involved in the system. And Marcy's Law doesn't provide a funding source for how these programs will continue to be funded in the hopes that victims would be able to be notified of the current and expanded proceedings that would be included if this were to pass.
So is there something then to be said about looking, as you said, Kathy, at the local level and maybe where that disconnect is happening? Are prosecutors' offices potentially not making those phone calls to the victims and informing them? Is that something that we need to be looking at since it's already in our state constitution?
Absolutely. I think the idea of having an ombudsman that came out of the study from Dr. Lisa Bostaff, who I know would be happy to talk to anyone about the findings and the recommendations, I think that could help maybe close the gap, because what we see is we actually have a really excellent victim rights constitution, constitutional right and statutory codification, that if we just were enforcing that, I think that would go a long way. And I think having an ombudsman that can help be that liaison for crime victims who have not had a good experience with a criminal justice system, as opposed to like putting something in a constitutional amendment that we don't believe is going to fix that problem.
And Kathy, from your standpoint then, is the argument to be made against this that we have so many of these things, these rules in our Constitution already? It's about implementation. Or are there things that we're missing that could potentially help?
You know, I think from a constitutional standpoint, it's what Kelly has been saying, which is we do already have a fairly robust crime victims constitutional amendment. We have, I think, 6 or 7 various state statutes that take what's provided in our Constitution and then expand upon them what's provided in our state constitution and expanded in state statute. Where this gets complicated is when we're trying this premise of getting folks on this even playing field, when government's coming in and accusing somebody of a crime with the full force of prosecutors and law enforcement and the money that's behind those entities against those who are accused of crimes. And knowing what we know about our criminal justice system, public defense, for example, is an issue that the ACLU has been closely watching, and knowing that those balances are already out of balance, right? It becomes a very scary premise for folks who are being accused of crimes to know that the scales of justice are going to tilt in a different direction. Again, these are really foundational constitutional protections that our founders built into our Constitution for this exact purpose, to protect from government overreach when using those powers to come after folks, to take them away from their families, to take them away from their jobs, and to incarcerate them for long periods of time. And that's why these rights need protecting. Mm-hmm. And we can protect the rights of people accused of crimes and still protect the rights of people who experienced crime in Idaho through additional measures. They have constitutional protections, but we need to be funding what those protections look like in the ways that Kelly and this report have identified and continue to need addressing.
Because part of the argument with Marcy's law was that victims do not have the same rights as defendants. And it's moving that argument forward in a way. But how would you respond to that, Kelly, especially when we look at the state of Idaho?
I mean, I think when we look at the state of Idaho, we look at our own constitutional victim rights statute. And what we believe is that really encompasses everything that is needed by survivors of crime to seek the kind of redress and the kind of communication and notification that we need. The Vine system is great. I know many prosecutors do a wonderful job communicating with survivors of many different crimes. What I would say, if we're still having issues where it's not working, and we've heard from different folks clearly that the criminal justice system has not worked for them, that an ombudsman feels like that is a solution. Because for us, it's really about honoring the voices of survivors of crime, and survivors of crime, victims of crime in this state have told us what they wanted. And so to not pay attention to that really feels irresponsible and disrespectful, frankly, of not really paying attention to what already Idaho crime victims have said that they need and want.
And if this is passed, what types of constitutional issues could potentially arise from this?
Sure. What we know from states that have passed Marcy's law, the Dakotas, for example, North Dakota and South Dakota both passed this, I think, in 2016 and 2017, and they're already seeing delays in access to your right to a speedy trial. They're seeing delays in folks being released on a timely basis. So folks are ending up remaining incarcerated longer than they need to be, which comes at a cost to taxpayers. Mm-hmm. We continue to foot the bill for people to be in prison when they don't need to be. It's raised a lot of questions around how are judges going to have to rectify this inherent conflict now in criminal proceedings between the rights of people accused of crimes and crime victims who are coming in and being a part of the process. And in a number of states, we've seen police officers, in fact, invoke Marcy's law and shield themselves from their names being disclosed when they're involved in officer-involved shootings. So certainly raises some transparency and government accountability measures when law enforcement's been involved in something like that, where the public, we believe, has a right to know who that law enforcement officer is and begin to question, you know, what were the surroundings in that officer-involved shooting. Not to mention, it's just raised a lot of concerns around ongoing implementation costs and the millions of dollars on an annual basis, when maybe we could be investing those dollars in things like hiring an ombudsman, providing transportation. Mm-hmm.
Child care,
expanding access to rural parts of the states to victims of crime who might need language access or translation services. I think those dollars could go a lot further in providing the support and services that crime victims need, as opposed to potential litigation and lengthy incarceration that we shouldn't be spending money on.
And Kelly, what would you say to that?
I think there's two concerns that we have that if it were passed. One is we don't believe that the bill in the last 2 years actually had an enforcement mechanism if there was a conflict or an issue. It talks about, yes, that you would have this ability to seek enforcement, but it doesn't say how. Mm. Where we see that if you go by the crime victim needs assessment, the how would be an ombudsman. I mean, we can't envision that the legislature is intending to pass a bill where they're saying that crime victims will have a right to sue prosecutors or be a third party to a case. I think the second concern, which is significant for us, is that the cost of this and the implementation could be significant. And we're saying that if there are additional funds available in this legislature, let's please fund what Idaho crime victims are asking for.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and giving us some new perspective and information on this. I do appreciate the conversation.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
My guests today, Kathy Grismeyer, Policy Director with the ACLU of Idaho, and Kelly Miller, Executive Director for the Idaho Coalition Against Sexual and Domestic Violence. We've been talking about Marcy's Law and it coming back in front of the legislature here in Idaho this session.